I'd like to introduce today's first presenter, Warren Mead. Warren, you now have the floor.
Thanks, Rob. I'm Warren Mead, the Vice President of Business Development at Nasuni, and I also wanted to introduce John Capello.
Hi, I'm John Capello. I'm the VP of Product Strategy at Nasuni.
We wanted to thank everyone for joining today. We're going to have an interactive lab. We're going to start with a Nasuni overview about our technology. We're going to then talk about our partnership with Microsoft, some customers that are leveraging the Nasuni technology. Then we'll get into some of the challenges in the market today around file services. And then we'll talk specifically about the Nasuni service and spin up a virtual environment. If there are any questions throughout, you can email us at the email below on the slide. And I'm going to start off at a high level, talking a little bit about the core pillars of our technology. And then we'll talk a little bit about the use cases and really how we target customers to leverage Nasuni. We are an enterprise file services solution. And our four key pillars of technology are storage, protection, sync and share, and analytics. And John's going to go into this in a little bit more detail. But at a high level, what I'd like to talk about on each one, when you look at storage and you think about storage, it's all about the unlimited capacity. And this is a combination of Nasuni with Azure, giving customers the ability to store your files with unlimited capacity, what you need, when you need it.
Yep.
And we feel that the days of customers paying for expensive on-prem storage, buying more than they need, keeping it for 3 years, replacing it with a similar kind of box, those days are quickly going away.
Yeah.
Customers are really moving to an on-demand services, you know, on-demand in the cloud, buy what you need, when you need it, with unlimited scale. And that's really what Nasuni and Azure can bring you today. It's also about protection and protecting those files, continuous versioning of those files. What are you using from a backup solution today? And what are you using for a DR solution today? And do you really need that solution? Or what new solutions can come in that Nasuni, coupled with Azure, can bring to really change the game from a protection standpoint, how we protect those files? And then we talk about sync and share. There's a lot of noise in the market around sync and share. What really is delivered in sync and share? What do customers really need? Are there sync and share solutions in your environment that you don't even know about today? And how can I get a secure sync and share solution? And the last pillar is really all about analytics. What's going on with my file data? Who's accessing what files? And mm-hmm. what we can do to show the customers exactly what's going on from an analytics standpoint. I want to talk about use cases. Customers that move to Nasuni are typically customers that have had on-prem storage today, NAS, traditional NAS filers, a lot of EMC and a lot of NetApp, and yep. they could be out of capacity, right? We're dealing with unstructured file data, and there's massive growth in the unstructured file data today. So when customers are over capacity, their servers, their file servers are up for renewal, those are great points where they'll look at that and say, do I really want to buy another NetApp? Do I really mm-hmm. want to buy another EMC filer? What can I leverage in the cloud today? Do I have Microsoft already in my environment? Can I leverage Azure in that environment to move some of that file data off that expensive on-prem storage? Mm-hmm. Can my users still have access to that data? That's very critical to them too. When you look at backup and DR, companies are spending a lot of money on expensive backup solutions, expensive DR solutions. You don't need to do that anymore. Leveraging the cloud, you can take full advantage of that. So that's another great use case. So whether it's tier one NAS file storage, whether it's backup, when you think about sync and share, when you think about Dropbox, oftentimes customers have Dropbox in fiefdoms in their environment that they're brought in. It's not secure. CIOs don't know that it's going on in their environment. You know, Nasuni and Azure can give you a Dropbox that's enterprise ready, powered by Azure, secured in AD, and that's a great file sync and share alternative. And then for management and control, open APIs to get the analytics mm-hmm. for your files becomes very critical as well. When we look at target customers, customers that are leveraging Nasuni today are customers that have lots of files, that have lots of locations. Lots of unstructured file data, lots of locations. They need to collaborate between those locations. That's a critical mm-hmm. element of our enterprise file services solution. And also customers that have that cloud strategy. Whether they have Azure today, whether they're looking at Azure, they want to move to the cloud, that's the customers that we're really going after today.
And just to underscore what Warren said there, when you think about Nasuni, think about files. Think about the fact that we solve the problem of managing your file data. The four pillars they talked about, storage, protection, sync and share, collaborating around the files, analyzing the files. It's so important when you think about Nasuni, think about the file problem. And like Warren said, some of our best customers, the customers for whom we solve really big problems, are customers that have tons of files. They also usually have applications that are creating larger and larger files, and it becomes very difficult to manage that. So when you think about Nasuni, think about files, think about the file growth problem, and think about how we can help you manage that.
Yeah, it's a great point. And when we talk about our relationship with Microsoft, we've started working with Microsoft closely a little more than 2 years ago. And early on at Nasuni, we used to leverage AWS mm-hmm. as our public cloud environment. What we did is we did some extensive testing, and we benchmarked all the public clouds. It was AWS, it was Azure, and it was Google. Mm-hmm. And we look at all the different storage benchmarks, the reads, the writes, the errors, from a performance standpoint, to figure out what cloud was going to be best for our customers. And over 2 years ago, we decided to move all of our business to Azure as our default cloud service for our service. They just perform better. They have better performance, less errors, and we have a cloud storage report that John spent a lot of time on.
That's right. So we've been doing it biannually now for about 5-6 years at this point. And when we looked at the typical file distribution inside of an enterprise, when you looked at like files that range from small to kind of medium-sized files to, you know, somewhat on the large size, not the largest that you would find in an environment, but just sort of the stock workflow of enterprise files, that's where Azure performed really, really well. And so, like Warren said, we switched over to Azure a couple of years ago as our default storage backend for our customers.
Right, and we leverage the Azure geo-redundant storage. It's multiple, one copy, multiple locations, or six different Azure.
Six different copies. Yep.
Right.
Two different locations. Yeah, that's really important. When you buy, Nasuni, your data is being stored in Azure, and it's being stored at the GRS level. So you automatically get the geo redundancy built into it. So it's GRS level as the integrated service.
Right. We've been an Azure managed ISV for the last year and a half, which is very important. We've really aligned closely with Microsoft from a field engagement, as well as from their partner ecosystem as well. And we've worked with Microsoft to really target some of the key verticals that we play in. And a lot of it is around architecture, engineering, and construction, healthcare, manufacturing, media. Think of those verticals, lots of unstructured file data, mm-hmm. whether they're CAD designs, Revit designs, Adobe Illustrator, video files, PAX images. Those are the verticals that we're really going after, because
yep.
those are the customers, to John's point, with lots of locations and lots of files, and those files are big, unstructured files, and that's really what we're optimized for. And we could talk about a few different customers that we've had that can really focus on bringing out some of the value props. So the first one I'd like to talk about is Edelman, which is a large global PR agency that they were one of our first Microsoft customers.
Mm-hmm.
They've been using Nasuni for about 2.5 years now. And this was their traditional environment was a lot of EMC for mm-hmm. both
VNX
and Avamar.
Yep.
And initially they were looking at us from a backup standpoint, and they were looking at what they were spending on Avamar. And if you think of their environment, they're a massively global distributed environment. Lots of locations. They started out about 30 or 40. They're now up to about 70.
Mm-hmm.
If you think of media companies, their files are large video imaging, digital imaging files, and they need to share those globally and have access. All their users need to have access for this in real time, and they need to back it up.
Yep.
What Edelman did is looked at Nasuni initially to displace their backup, and what they found out was we're able to displace not only their backup but their Tier 1 NAS, so that was a complete move away from EMC and over to Nasuni with Azure. So that was a great use case there. And they've been a customer for over 2 years now.
Yep.
Which is a great one. The next customer I want to talk about is Austin Radiology. And this is this was one of the first healthcare account wins we've had with Microsoft mm-hmm. in their HLS group. And their challenge is all around digital images, PACS images. So think of radiology environments with large digital imaging that they need to have capacity because they were growing at a rapid rate, and they had EMC Isilon.
Yeah.
And
they didn't.
Their...
Yeah, one of the challenges there was, you know, they again back to the application issue. For them, it was around mammograms. It was the fact that 2D mammograms were now being replaced by 3D mammograms. Right. The sizes of those files were so much larger than they had expected. So they all of a sudden were on set with growth that they hadn't anticipated. And they had a decision to make. Do I rent out another floor in our data center and buy more Isilon, or do I find a better way to manage the scale?
Yep.
Right? And so that's a big decision. Do I actually have to, you know, invest a whole lot more to my infrastructure, you know, introduce more complexity, have more things on-prem just to be able to handle the growth that's coming out, that's happening right now inside the enterprise, inside their business? So what they said was, if we could somehow leverage the cloud, and that was their challenge, how can we leverage the cloud for capacity? That's the first thing they wanted to solve.
Right.
But their biggest question was, can I still get the performance that I'm getting from my Isilon? So, you know, we worked very carefully with them to make sure that their network was set up correctly, that the connection to Azure was, you know, optimized for their location, that the target that they had for their storage was optimized. And it turns out that actually we performed better in terms of reads than the Isilon that was on-prem. Having it in the cloud actually didn't sacrifice performance. We actually improved performance on top of that.
Right, which is a great use case.
Yeah.
And it's since opened up a lot of new opportunities in the healthcare space.
Absolutely.
That we work very closely with Microsoft's healthcare and life science team.
Yeah.
The next customer, this is a great story here. This is really, you know, one of the things that we look at is the data center of the future. And it's looking at block and file. We've got a few areas here. As John said, we are focused on the files, but customers also want to move their block too, right? So it's a block and file challenge that these customers have. Wilton is a great example of this. They're a manufacturing company with multiple locations, lots of unstructured file data, but they also had lots of structured block data as well.
Yep.
What they look to do is we partnered with one of our ecosystem partners, Simplivity, where Nasuni is actually running side by side with them. So if you think of the hyper-converged movement today in the market, mm-hmm. and that's a great solution for block-based file, you're able to run all your block-based file in that hyper-converged environment and then take the unstructured file data through Nasuni and put that into Azure as a great cost saving. So a combination of the hyper-converged with Nasuni driving Azure consumption within this account. And I don't know if there's anything you want to add to.
Yeah, just, you know, at this point, so we talked about three different examples of customers that are, you know, they're pretty different from one another, but they all have the same problem. And they're all actually capitalizing on the same big trend. Files belong in the cloud. Blocks should be on-prem, hyper-converged, or on top of flash, all SSD. We'll get to that one in a second. So think, you know, block local, make it run faster, make it more resilient. Files belong in the cloud. Files, you get the scale of the cloud, as Warner talked about before. We'll talk about the protection and get a little more detail about that too. But again, Wilton had, you know, a strategy that you'll hear from, boy, a lot of analysts now, Gartner as well as ESG, which is the file workloads belong in the cloud, and we help them make that happen.
Right, right. And to build on that, another customer that we had, a recent win for us, very similar in the Wilton, but it's leveraging another partner of ours, which is Pure Storage, where Pure, they put all their block file on Pure. We're actually running as a VM on Pure, leveraging Azure for the unstructured file data and putting that in the cloud. So similar to Wilton in one sense, where they're looking at just the data center of the future. We're moving away from your traditional, in this case, this was an EMC takeout. Mm-hmm. Wilton happened to be NetApp, so we don't discriminate. We'll displace both EMC and NetApp or any on-prem environment. But for AvMed in particular, this was another EMC environment where, combined with Pure Storage and Nasuni, we were able to address both the block and file, high performance workloads, stay on-prem in a pure block environment, the unstructured file data, that in this case they were workloads, office workloads.
Mostly office documents.
Transactional workloads were staying.
Transactional workloads were in the two data centers. The files, so the files needed to move around, right?
Right.
It wasn't just in the corporate center. It was actually in some of the remote offices. They're based out of Florida, throughout the state of Florida. And so, again, you know, it just made so much more sense. You put the files in the cloud, access to those files becomes so much easier. You know, block workloads have to be fast, have to be local. Files should be in the cloud so that they can be accessed anywhere you need them.
Right. Right. Yeah, great point. And really to talk about our numbers and what we've done, we've moved so many workloads into the cloud. We've got over 250 customers, 58 countries. You know, we've got 2,000 filers. It's just a lot of file data in the cloud. Global file locks on a daily basis that we're doing. I mean, we've moved a great deal of file workloads into the cloud and into Azure. As one of the drivers for our partnership with Microsoft was being able to drive that Azure consumption to take advantage of customers that might have Azure today or bring Azure into a net new environment. So that was the real value there.
Yeah, absolutely. Warren talked about the fact that we manage 40 million global file locks on a daily basis. So when you think about Nasuni, you should think about not just the fact that we're storing your data, we're protecting your data, but we're making it easy for you to collaborate on your data. And it should look and feel just like a local file. And so one of the key things is we got to deal with locks. We got to deal with the fact that if you've got a typical NAS, if you got a typical local file server, you're going to have file locks. How can you manage that across the globe? How can you manage that file that's that should be performing like a local file but working globally? The way is you create a global file lock, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes too. But again, Warren was talking about 125% year-over-year growth.
Our retention rate too. And what we've seen, it's about 130% on retention of our customers. And what that really equates to is not only are our customers staying with us, but they're growing. So we'll see, we sell Nasuni as a subscription service. It's a per terabyte per yearly price. You pay for what you need, you get the entire service. Yep. You don't have to pay extra for data protection. You don't have to pay extra for sync and share. For the analytics, it's all bundled into one simple price. And typically customers will start, and maybe it's one use case, or it's one location, or they've got a NetApp that's over capacity, or there's a renewal on their Isilon box, right? Typically, we might get brought into those environments. So you might start out with, could be 30 terabytes or 40 terabytes, but then over the course of that 12 months before your renewal, they might have another location or another use case. So oftentimes, we'll see that increase to about 130% year over year of our renewal rate. So our company's growing at 125% growth, but our customer base is also growing at 130% growth. So from a subscription standpoint, it's great as we get our growth engine for our business. It's great for the customers because you don't have to now buy 100 terabytes when you only have 50.
Yeah.
Because the traditional storage guys are going to have you over provision for 3 years of growth ahead of time. You have to pay the maintenance on that. For us, it's what you buy what you need, when you need it, and the ability to scale rapidly, leveraging Azure for that capacity on demand. That's the beauty of our solution. And that's very different than how customers have been consuming storage in the past, right? And this is truly what we believe is. It's a game-changing technology on how customers consume their file storage and how they can leverage the cloud for that.
Yeah. And just building off of that, when we talk about sort of how we think about the market as it exists today, as Warren was saying, how some of our existing customers used to think about how they deal with these file problems. They think about these four different, what we'll call enterprise file services. And Warren talked about this, and I'm going to get into a little bit more detail on this. But so storage, obviously, is the big one, right? You're buying a way of storing your files. Protection, obviously, is important, too. Sync and share, trying to make sure that those files can be in the right place at the right time in front of the right person whenever they need it. And then as we're talking about analytics on that. So let's go to that first one. Really, this is where, file storage began, right? This is where the market began. This is what most of our customers have in place right now. They've got a NetApp, or they've got a VNX, or they've got an Isilon. And why do they have that there? It's to do the very basic stuff, which is we're going to store your files and we're going to provide you the performance so that you can access the files, given the workloads that that they're going to be under. And then most recently, in the last 5-10 years, companies have become much better at being able to offer control and management of those environments.
Right.
Because they only get more and more complex. So when you think about storage as a service, those are the three big things that you get. You get storage, you get scale, you get the ability to provision capacity, performance and control management. But we're talking about on-prem boxes. And like Warren said, that pain is around how do I refresh the storage? If I know that I need another 100 terabytes, what does that mean for me? More arrays? Does it mean more rack space? Does it mean buying more boxes? Does it mean actually, in the case of ARA, having to get to a bigger data center? The second piece on protection, and this is where we've seen a lot of pain. It comes down to, you know, what is your target for when you're going to be protected, when that file is going to be protected, the RPO and the RTO targets for that. How long are you keeping things? What's the retention policy? Geo-redundancy. It's great. You've built out your environment. Now build it out again.
Right.
You know, create that same environment somewhere else so that you're protected. The durability of it. What's the underlying media? Obviously, everyone's moved away from tape or trying to move away from tape so you can get into something a little bit more stable. And then what is your disaster recovery approach to this? So these are all the key things that we think about when we think about the challenges that our customers are facing.
Yeah, now, and usually customers, they'll find Nasuni initially on the storage piece, right? Because mm-hmm. it might be a refresh or overcapacity. But then when they realize that along with our storage element of it, you also get that data protection. You also eliminate the need for expensive backup. You could eliminate the need for a DR strategy because you have that built in.
Yep.
Right? With geo redundancy within Azure, with continuous versioning, mm-hmm. this gives customers, that's when the light goes off and they say, okay, I initially have a NetApp refresh that I'm looking at Nasuni for, but now I don't need Commvault anymore, or I don't really need Avamar anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the economics really come into play and customers realize, wow, I can do a lot more than just Tier 1 NAS.
And to that point, too, because the third service that we've seen, this explosion of these sync share platforms inside the enterprise, with, you know, you've probably heard called Shadow IT. You know, Dropbox will actually contact IT departments saying, do you know how many people inside your organization are using Dropbox? Well, we do, you know.
Right.
It's actually happening already. Files are leaking out. They're moving everywhere. And it is a pain.
Right.
It's a pain. So this is, again, another point that we're trying to address with Nasuni. I'll talk about more of that in a second. On the analytics side, it's about everything from knowing who has accessed what file when, who had the permission to do it, who should have had the permissions to do it, what do these patterns mean, what do they mean in terms of how I should be managing the files, what does it mean in terms of my own security policies. Lots of different things that go into just understanding the dynamics around files and the users who use those files. So this is the state of the world right now and the pain around it, but this is what Nasuni can offer, right? We can offer relief, as we've been talking about, just to kind of crystallize what we've said up to this point in time. With Nasuni, you're going to get that unlimited capacity in the cloud and that kind of on-demand provisioning, right? If I need another 125 terabytes, do I have to buy 125 terabytes worth of gear? No. You can sequence out until you reach capacity, and then you can continue to add more. In terms of performance and local performance, and I'll get into this on the architecture slides, but this is such an important point. What we do at Nasuni is we store the files, the gold copies of all the files, they live in the cloud. They live inside of Azure. That is the gold copy of the cloud, of the files. It's actually the gold copy of the entire file system because we've built an entire file system in the cloud. But you need local performance. You can't just always be calling back and forth to the cloud. That would be crazy. That doesn't work, right? So what do? We have a very intelligent caching mechanism. So we provision you with, whether it's VMs or hardware appliances, we provision you with enough local performance, local cache, and we're intelligent about what files need to be local and resident there. And the real magic of Nasuni is just always making sure it's in sync. Always making sure it's in sync with the cloud, because gold copy lives in the cloud.
Right.
And our management console. I'm going to get into this one in a second. I know a lot of people have signed up for the lab, and you're going to get a chance to see our filers. When you actually get into a beta or a broader test mode with us, you actually get access to the Nasuni Management Console. It's a very, very cool piece of software. It allows you to connect all these filers together. It is the way that you can scale your environment, your file environment, your volumes, your filers, without having to scale your IT infrastructure, your IT team. On the protection side, so Warren talked about this a lot. He talked about continuous versioning. So, and I'll get into this in a second, but when you store a file on Nasuni, when it gets written to a filer, what's going to happen is that file is going to be immediate, or as quickly as possible, we're going to send that up to the cloud. could be a minute snap schedule, could be a 5 minute snap schedule, but we're going to take a snapshot of that file system locally and we're going to send it up to the cloud. What we're going to send to the cloud, though, is not just that file that we write directly to the object store. We do a little bit more than that. We actually chunk the file, and then we dedupe what's happening within those chunks, and then we compress, and then we secure it, encrypt it, and send it to the cloud. But when that file changes, we're only going to send those deltas. We're only going to send the changes to that file into the cloud.
Right.
So we have a continuously versioned file system in the cloud. And here comes the really interesting part. Warren talked about the fact that we charge a single per terabyte price. We just charge on usable capacity. So if you have 100 terabytes of usable data, 100 terabytes that shows up on your share, 100 terabytes that you are writing to, no matter how many times you back that up, no matter how many times you version that, we don't charge you for the extra on top of that. It's one price. So you get unlimited versions with Nasuni.
Right.
You can change that file every 5 minutes for the last, you know, for the next 4 years. You could have millions of versions of files. We don't charge you for those other versions. Whatever shows up in the cloud as part of our integrated service, that's our price. So unlimited versions on top of that. We talk about geo-redundancy. Boy, this is why you need something like Azure. This is why you need this amazing infrastructure in the back end. As soon as we write those chunks to the cloud, what happens? Well, we're using GRS, we're using geo-redundant services. So we write a chunk of your file or a chunk of the file system. All of a sudden, we've created six copies of that, or I should say Microsoft has created six copies of that, and it's in two different locations. You have your geo-redundancy built in. You don't have to build a second data center.
Right.
Right? The durability, you know, in the cloud space, people talk a lot about like what the type of durability of an object store is. I think we have 9 nines on here. It might be 7 nines, 11 nines. There's a lot of arguments
lot
about
of
that. It's a lot of nines. There's a lot of nines on there somewhere. And then DR, we'll get into this one in a second, but just to throw this out for right now, no one DRs faster than we do. And it's because of a very, very important architectural difference that we have from everyone else, which is you don't need the entire file system local on the cache. You actually don't need the entire file system. The file system lives in the cloud. The only thing that you need local is what you need access to immediately. So it could be the very top of the file system. It could be just the stubs of the directories that are there. You can have access to the entire file system without having that entire file system local. So you could have a volume that's hundreds and hundreds of terabytes. Do you need 100 terabytes local? No, you could have 8 terabytes local. And so when we DR, what we're really doing is we're just reattaching a filer to that gold copy on the cloud.
Right.
And it takes less than 15 minutes to DR an entire site. It's hugely important for a lot of our customers. On the sync share piece, we've got iOS apps, we've got Android apps, we've got Windows sync clients, we've got OS X sync clients. You know, we've got a number of customers that are moving away from Box and Dropbox, and they're getting their customers to use the Nasuni mobile clients, the sync clients, and the iOS and Android devices. And that's actually one thing we're going to talk about in the demo in a second. We're going to show you how to do that as part of the demo that you can spin up today. We've got remote wipe, especially for the iOS and the Android clients. We authenticate with AD, and you can do external link sharing with us with password protection as well as timeout of links. And we've got file auditing. Now, on this one, we have our own file auditing. You can, and this is the really important point, especially when it comes to sync share. If anyone has ever had to deal with the pain of managing multiple sync share services within the organization, they know what this is, the pain around this, because you've got a file that lives on a file share somewhere in your environment, and there's an audit trail associated with that file. And then some customer, because of shadow IT, decided, hey, I'm gonna share this out on Box, and I'm gonna share it with my customers, I'm gonna share it with my partners on Box. And another person in the organization said, hey, I'm gonna share that out on Dropbox. Now you've got three copies of that file in three different places, two of which you have no control over, and now you've got three different audit trails. So where's the source of truth? With Nasuni, everything is part of the same audit trail. There's one source of truth. It's in Azure. One source of truth. It's in the cloud. And so this is your favorite slide.
We love this slide.
We love this slide. This is the best slide of the deck. This is our spider slide. So how do you think about Nasuni compared to these to other vendors? Well, again, our four pillars, right? Storage, protection, sync share, and we'll call it analytics or analysis. With Nasuni, We're very, very good at protection. I think we're best in class when it comes to protection. With storage, there are a handful of workloads that we don't cover. We cover almost everything else. Really, really, really high-end workloads where you want super fast performance locally. Sometimes you might need something like an EMC or a NetApp for that. But almost, I'd say 95% of all workloads we can handle with our current infrastructure. Sync share clients, we are so close to being best in class on this one. We are already able to displace Box and Dropbox and a number of our customers, and we're getting closer on that every day. And on the analytics piece, we do as much analysis as our customers need, and then we partner with other customers or other companies. For example, Varonis, it's one of the best in class services to actually really chart and understand where your files are being used in the enterprise and where the threats are within the enterprise. It is a fantastic product, and we are this year we're going to have a very, very tight integration with Varonis. So if you've got Varonis managing lots of other aspects of your DLP strategy, you now will be able to include Nasuni as part of that as well.
You know, I think what's great about this slide too is customers traditionally think when they're looking at us initially, it's typically to displace an EMC or a NetApp just on the storage piece.
Right.
So what we try to do is really show the customer that it's more than just storage, right? Like, you have to think of it as a holistic environment
yep.
that will also address the protection, will also address sync and share. So oftentimes, if it's just apples to apples on storage, you know, that's really not how we think the customer, you know, how we would like mm-hmm. the customer to think is it's more than that. Like, let's drill down a little bit and find out, what are you doing for DR today? What are you
exactly.
doing for your backup strategy today? Where's your pain around backup? And then obviously when we talk about sync and share and all the different fiefdoms within a company that corporate IT doesn't even know about. So
exactly.
when you think of Nasuni and you think of all three of those and then you tie in the analytics around that, that makes it much more powerful than just saying it's a NAS replacement.
Right.
And so I think it's important for customers to start to look at all four of those pillars. And that's really what we do and we try to do every day with our partners, with Microsoft, is to say, hey, we've got a holistic environment. It really is a data center of the future when we talk about this.
Absolutely true. Now, let me talk a little bit about how we do that. I've got just two more slides on this, and then we're going to get into the demo, and then we'll take some questions after that. So let me talk a little bit about our architecture. And so when you think about Nasuni and how we are able to provide all of these services in one integrated solution, it comes down to one core technology. For us, it's called UniFS, okay? Our Unified Universal File System. It is a cloud-based, continuously versioned global file system. And so let me be really clear about what that means. That means that we have a file system that lives on the object stores. It lives in the cloud. It lives inside of Azure. What does that really look like? Well, you know, a typical file system, you know, directories, you've got files within them, you've got metadata associated with that. We've turned that into basically a lot of manifests that point to objects in the object store that will define what that directory metadata or file data is. So we've taken a traditional file system and we've turned it into a bunch of chunkable objects. And then the file system itself are these files that point to those objects. So when you create a volume within Nasuni, you're creating a list of the objects that are going to eventually be stored inside of Azure. And so why is that really important? Well, it's really important that we chunk objects so that we can allow for this versioning, right? Like I said before, the most important thing about, you know, thinking about us when it comes to protection is the fact that we just do these small little incremental versions, and those are the things that get sent to the cloud.
Right.
So we're always updating an infinite version stream, the file system and the files. So as you can see on this slide here, we've got UniFS in the cloud. UniFS in the cloud, that means your file system lives in the cloud. What's happening locally are the appliances, virtual or hardware, that have the file system available through SIFS, through NFS, through Nasuni Mobile, through HTTPS as well, or through FTP. And so we've got different appliances, different size appliances, different speeds, different performance characteristics of our appliances, or guidance around the VMs that are tuned to that local workload. So if you've got lots of users using Revit or lots of users writing 4K videos, we'll recommend some of our higher performing devices. If you've got users that are in remote offices that are doing mostly office work, Vistaprint is a great customer of ours. They have an office in a box that gets sent out when they set up new offices around the world. And you know, those are VMs, and they can handle those smaller workloads. So again, think of us as we've got our own file system. It's cloud-based. It's continuously versioned. It lives inside the cloud. It's accessed by the appliances. But it's not just that. It's not just the fact that you've got a cloud file system in the cloud. You also have a number of other services that allow for this coordination between different different filers. So if you look at the very top of this screen here, these are all the things that live inside the cloud, all the green at the top. You've got the primary storage, so this is Azure here. You've got a global file lock manager, which is a big database in the cloud, high transaction, very durable database, which allows for us to always be capturing the state of a lock between a file, wherever, whether that file is in in one location or a remote location, and it coordinates between multiple locations that lock. And then we've got a task manager, and that task manager is responsible for taking any changes that happen to that filer and making sure that gets propagated to other filers that have a shared volume with that. So you've got a volume. Let's say I've got the sales volume, and I want to make sure that my my Boston filer has the sales volume. I want to make sure my Seattle filer has the sales volume. Any changes that happen will get propagated through that task manager. But what's happening locally? Well, you create the volumes locally. You've got the cache manager, and this is a really important part of our technology. This is the this is basically the piece of our technology which knows what to keep things resident in cache, when to evict things from the cache, when to move things out of the cache. You can actually manage some of this yourself. You can actually pin things into cache. There's a lot of great intelligence that's been built into that, but things that you can control as well. We've got a file manager, and as you can see here, there's a crypto layer. So this is another really, really important point, and I'm going to talk about this in the demo as well, which is before any of the files or the chunks of the files get sent to the cloud, they get encrypted. Right. And what do they get encrypted with? They get encrypted with your keys. Where do those keys live? They don't live in the cloud. The keys live with you. They live in your environment. They live on that filer. You have control over the keys. In particular, if you have if you're a global enterprise, or if you've got if you're trying to deal with the very complicated set of emerging data governance issues, especially in Europe right now, you know how important it is to make sure that you've identified where the data resides. That's right. Really, really important, and you can do that whenever you set up a filer, because you can say, I want it to be in that Azure data center. But second is, you have to be really careful about who owns the keys and where those keys live. Right. You own those keys. Those keys live on that filer, and you have access, and that's your responsibility. You have access to those keys.
And I think that helps a lot when customers are looking at Nasuni and looking at the cloud in general, and
yep.
looking at, am I ready to move workloads to the cloud? Yep. There's companies that have, there's lots of cloud initiatives out there, but there's also that question of how secure is it and who
yep.
holds those keys. And when customers find out that it's encrypted behind their firewall, they hold the encryption keys, I think there's a lot of sort of angst that goes away
mm-hmm.
from the customers when they hear that. And I think that's an important aspect in the moving forward and moving more workloads to the cloud.
Absolutely.
Having that ability for the customer to hold those encryption keys is really important.
Absolutely. I think we're going to move to the demo now. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Is that what we're doing? All right. So I'm going to, I'm going to switch over. And a couple things I'm going to cover in the demo. If I can get my, here we go. Just want to cover a few things. Number one, for those of you on the call who have, or are watching this later, who have who've gone through the process of setting up a test account, some of this will look a little familiar, but I'm just going to spend a brief moment just kind of going through how to do that, how to actually spin up a VM inside of Azure. And also just to let you know that we've actually really simple, even since we actually launched our first version of this a couple of weeks ago, we've even simplified this procedure even more. So getting a Nasuni filer up and running is even simpler now. So I'm going to run through that first, just how you provision it through the marketplace. And the second thing is, once that's up and running, how do you provision that filer to be up and running and active? And then third, I'm going to show that filer, or you know, one that I just recently set up, and just talk through some basic things on that. And then the last thing I want to do is I want to talk about some of the cool things that you can do in sort of a full environment when you've got lots of different sites. Right. And so I'm going to log into a demo system that we have. It's got some data in it. We're going to talk about data protection. We're going to talk a little bit about just being able to manage a large environment with the Nasuni Management Console brings to you.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, we recently went live in the Azure Marketplace about a month ago now. So the ability to give customers and partners an easy way to spin up a VM in the Azure Marketplace quickly and easily, it's a great way to start down that Nasuni Azure path.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it's just a great go-to-market strategy for us in the marketplace. So.
And we're going to keep making it easier and easier. There's so many cool things we can start doing with templates.
Yep.
Just so you don't have to worry about this, but really think about this as, you know, an easy easy way to just test out the filer.
Right.
Test out Nasuni, and we'll walk through a couple of things that you can do there. So if everyone's looking at my screen right now, this is our publishing account, so you'll see our stage stuff down here. You want to pick the Nasuni Cloud NAS 7.2 filer. And this is pretty easy to do at this point. You just click Create. We're going to call it whatever we want. Oh. I'm using so much Azure, I can't.
Over-provision.
I can't do it here in the West. I have to pick another region. I've used up all my West Coast Azure. So I'm going to spin this one up in Western Europe. Perfect. So I'm going to call this the Italian Nasuni filer. And we'll call it. You can pick any username. It actually doesn't matter like which username you pick here. You do want to have the authentication type as password, though.
Right.
And these are the Azure definitions for password. So I'm just going to come up with my own right now. And did it pass? Oh, no, it didn't. There we go. Now it passed. I'm going to go ahead and create a new resource group, and we'll launch this in Western Europe. And really, this is all you have to do. I'm not going to launch this one right now, but you click OK, and that is it. That is all you have to do to get a filer up and running. And so what happens after that? Give me 1 second, and I'll show you another filer that we recently got into this, got to this point. Here we go. Okay, so once you do that, spin up that filer, you are going to get a public IP address. And we have a lot of this in a document that you can access as well if you email Aaron Feiger, E-F-I-G-E-R at Nasuni.com. It should be in the notes on the call. She can send that document out to you. You're going to find a public IP address for that filer. And you're going to want to log in using HTTPS, and the port's going to be 8443. And then it's really easy to walk through this wizard of how to set this up. I'm going to call this italianfiler.nasuni.net. Whatever your fully qualified domain name is within your environment, it can be really it can be nice if you actually spin something like this up in an environment in a VNet which has access to a domain controller. For the purpose of this demo, I haven't done that. But whatever fully qualified domain name fits within your environment. Keep all this the same, some settings at DHCP. I'm going to click Next onto here. And while it's doing that, yep, here we go. All of this looks good. Review the network settings, it's DHCP. Oh, that looks great. I'm going to click Review. And now it's going to configure that. It's going to talk to our NOC, our Network Operations Center. It's going to let us know that it's going to make sure that it can talk to the NOC, that it can get to the outside world, make sure all the IP addresses are correct. So we're going to give that a second. And then eventually in this wizard, we're going to put in two really important things, which are the authorization code and the secret key. So if you sign up with Nasuni, let me tell you where you would find something like that. I'm using my account here. And when I log into account.nasuni.com, I get access to a bunch of serial codes. Oh, and as Warren was talking about before, we only charge for usable terabytes. So even though I have, you know, a handful, you know, five, six of these here, the number of VMs is actually unlimited. You can get as many as you want. So spin up as many file drives as you want. You could have 10 terabytes in the cloud, 20 terabytes in the cloud, 50 terabytes. You could have hundreds of VMs associated with that.
That's right.
It's all free. But it's really easy to do because I can actually just go here. I can find an unused serial number and then the hidden key here. I'll get back to that one in a second. Oh, look. Okay, so it it was able to talk to the outside world and even said, hey, look, I've got an update here. This is a 7.2 filer. Not only do we have 7.2.13, but as of a couple weeks ago, we have 7.5 out now as well. I'm going to skip that for right now because it's going to take a little extra time if I were to update the filer at this stage. But it gives you that option. If you want to get to the latest version, you can do that pretty easily. All right, so now this is the important part. So I'm just going to grab a serial number. And if you need serial numbers for the demo, again, email efiger@nasuni.com. And it's okay if you guys are seeing this right now, because once I use this, no one else will be able to use the authorization, the file serial number and the authorization code. Okay, and now just to make sure that you really want to do this, you just have to type in install new filer. And so what's happening right now is it's going back to our NOC, it's looking for those credentials, wants to make sure that that authorization code works, and it's going to tell me again, hey, look, we have a new version. Sure you don't want to install it? You really should get up to 7.5 when you do this. But for right now, 7.2.13. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and accept the terms. You can read through this. You can download it, print it out, our TOS and our license agreement. And now, new name for it. What do I want to call this? Let's call it Western Europe Filer. This one's actually, I think, this is the West Coast Filer. So inside the Nasuni Management Console, that's where you would see this filer. Now, you want to create a local user here. This is just how you're going to get into the filer, right? So we'll just use the one we always use. And in a second, we should be, I typed my passwords incorrectly, which I did. It's going to authenticate, so it's going to create that local user there. This is not connected to AD at this point, so this is really just local to the filer. But while we're at this point, just want to, when you think about Nasuni, or when you think about that filer, it can join AD, and if you've got AD, or if you've got a domain controller running in the cloud, maybe it's VPNing back to your on-site DC. If you have a domain controller in the cloud, put this into that environment. Launch the filer into that environment, because then you'll be able to join AD later. But right now we're just at the step where we're creating a local user so you can log into the filer. And it takes a few seconds, just give it a sec. There we go. Oh, we're almost ready to go. Let's just follow this for a second. It says, in order to create a new volume, click here. In order to connect to an existing volume, click here. So we're not going to be in a multi-shared mode right now, but we are going to go ahead and create a new volume here. So the filer is up and running. So within a couple of minutes, you already have access to, you've created a filer, and you've already established a relationship now with the Azure backend. So right now, when we put data onto this filer, all that data is going to go into Azure. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to go ahead and create a volume. Okay, so let's call this, let's call it engineering. Now, again, we're talking about data governance and some of the challenges that we see, especially with our customers in Europe. Azure region, pick the Azure region that you wanna store this data in. So when we talked about the gold copy in the cloud, we're gonna keep that gold copy in that region. When you get the geo-redundancy, it's gonna be within that region, right? So you actually don't have to worry about whether my data lives, you know, in this data center or that data center. You get to choose the data center it's gonna live in. So let's pick the Western United States. A really important point here, we talked about security, we talked about the fact that, you know, all the data is being encrypted and going back to the cloud. The encryption keys live here. So we're gonna create a new key, we'll call it, you know, something clever like engineering. You get to pick the network protocol for this volume. We're just gonna default to SIFS, but obviously we could do NFS as well. We're not gonna set a quota on here. And we're gonna go ahead and create a default share and export for this.
John, while you do that, we had a question come up where they asked if any of our customers has had any experience with CryptoLocker and ransomware. So around the security here. So not sure if you want to address that while we're building.
We do. In fact, if you Google or if you search for,
you can Bing it.
We could Bing it. I think it's a better thing. You should definitely Bing it. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
If you Bing Nasuni and CryptoLocker, you will get some great results of an example of how Nasuni helped the Lewis Operating Company in Southern California with managing ransomware and managing CryptoLocker. And I'll tell you, and I'll actually go through part of that in the last part of the demo. But boy, is it easy to restore and to restore a file, which means it's easy to protect yourself from CryptoLocker. Which also means it's easier to contain CryptoLocker.
Right.
We've fielded a lot of questions with customers, especially over the last month or so about that. To be honest, a lot of our customers have dealt with that.
Yeah.
Understandably, some of them don't want to talk about it publicly, but you know, in the case of Mike Fuseli and Lewis Operating Company, it was a it really simplified his management of that environment and. Limited their exposure.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So here, our West Coast file, we create a volume. We're going to go ahead and look at that share now. It's the engineering share. Now, here's something I want to point out. So we're going to edit this share. What do we want to do with this share? So we create a volume. Again, a volume, that's just the file system, the part of the file system that is going to be sent to the cloud. The share is how you access that, right? And what we're looking at right now is, what can we do with that share? Lots of things you can do. You could turn it into something read-only. You could limit the host that can access the share. You can block certain files. A common thing is that people will put their music libraries. In your corporate environment, you can block it directly from here. But the thing I want to talk about goes back to the main point that you were bringing up before. You know, this shadow IT. You've got all of these folks, dealing with a lot of administrators dealing with the fact that, Box and Dropbox are in their environment. Well, with these two clicks, we can immediately create a access to those files from the outside world, from a web browser. So this filer is now going to be HTTPS enabled, which means that I can now link up my phone, my app on my phone, to this filer. It means that I can now, and I'll show you in a second, we can actually get to this filer via the website. And lots of things I can do here. If I'm going to enable web access, I can also allow shared links. I can set the maximum expiration on those links. I can say, hey, I'm going to require a password. Allow users to create writable shared links to directories. This means can be in read-only mode or read-write mode. So maybe you just want to lock down for this share. You want to say, look, it's the engineering share. There's no reason anyone outside the company should have the ability to actually write into a shared volume. You can lock that down right here. So this is the thing that I'm going to showcase right now in this filer. I'm going to save that share. We're going to give it a second. There we go. Okay. And now, in another tab, Look at that. Okay. I've now enabled web access. Some things while we're logging into this filer, as you can see up here, it has the Nasuni logo. All this can be branded whatever you would like. The color scheme here also customized to you. Yep. So here we are. We have access to this file. We have access to our file share right now from the web, anywhere you want, mobile devices as well. I can share files from here. I can upload files in here. If I click into my engineering folder, I can actually create more folders in this directory now. I'm going to create a folder here called DevOps. And I'll go ahead and start uploading files here as well. I'll go ahead and upload this presentation. There we go. And if I wanted to share this out, I can now create a public link to that. Password protected public link expires by the 15th. So just like Box and Dropbox, I can share links out from there.
We've also had a few questions come up on pricing.
Okay.
We've got a great TCO calculator.
We do, on our website,
customers can leverage. We typically see, on average, about 40 to 60% lower cost than your traditional on-prem storage and backup. So good questions there. And the fact that we do, it's all one price. It's per terabyte. It's what you need when you need it. It makes it a lot easier. But that calculator is a great tool.
Absolutely. Yep.
To go in and look at what you're currently spending for storage, for protection, for sync and share. And build that business case around that.
Yeah, and just to underscore that point for a second here, you know, there is there's really nothing that we've talked about today, any of the features that we've looked at that we're going to charge you extra for.
Right.
So really to underscore that, you could have 1,000 different clients, you know, iOS, Android clients, OS X clients, you know, Windows clients accessing these shares. We don't charge you extra for that.
Right. And the free VMs, I think, is a great point, too. When customers have a new location, they acquire a new company, they need to spin up a new location,
Yep. They
can spin up a VM, it doesn't cost them anything, they're only paying for the capacity that they have in the cloud.
If you had two filers, and I'll show again in a second when we get to the Nasuni Management Console, right, we spin up one VM, and we have customers doing this a lot. We have a great media company in London that does this. They've got a VM based out of London, or based out of Ireland, actually. They spun up in Azure.
Right.
That's where all of their European workforce actually logs in to get to their shares using their mobile clients. And they've got another one on the West Coast, you know, in California.
Right.
And that's where the other the other employees access their shares. But it's the same volume, right? You're leveraging this amazing back-end infrastructure at Azure to actually keep those things in sync.
Right. Right, and you can find that on our website at nasuni.com/TCO.
Yep.
We can post that into the chat.
Yep. One of the things to talk about here, talked about our encryption keys, right? Oh. We'll get that in 1 second. Oh, I'm on the wrong page. But here is where you would see your the encryption keys that we've used. It's just taking a second to update here. But the encryption keys for that volume, they're going to be here. You can download them from here. You can then upload your own encryption keys if you prefer to use those as well. But all that happens here on this page. If I want access to those shared links, if I want to have an administrator view into the links that got sent out from my company, I've got all of that right here. When I share a link out, it's available here. I can delete the shared links. I want to make sure that the right people are sharing out the right information. And we talked about this before. Again, I'm not going to do it here because I don't have an AD environment set up, but this is where you would join AD, right? Yeah. Really simple way of doing this. Follow what's on screen here, and it'll be very easy to actually get you up and running with AD. Anything else on here right now, or should I move to the console?
I think you can move to the console. We had a question, too. Can you buy Nasuni direct from Nasuni, and the answer to that is no. We sell everything It's a P2P model, 100% through our partners and through Microsoft partners. So you can reach out. You can see our partners on our website at nasuni.com/partners. But it's not something that you buy direct on our website. You go through our channel partners or reach out to your local Microsoft rep, and they can point you in the right direction there, too.
Yeah. So now we're actually in a, this is our demo environment that we're using at Nasuni. So we've got some of our own kind of fake fake data in here. But just to walk you through what's like in a real live environment, you know, what it means to actually be able to manage multiple volumes, multiple access points, you know, multiple shares. So in this case, here's your volume list. We've got a folder we're going to call the 30-day folder. And if you click on that, you can see that there are four unique shares across two different filers. We're going to click on here, and we'll see that. It's using both SIFS and FTP, so we've got an FTP connection here as well. So look at this, Boston and Houston. I've got my share name, we're calling it just the root share or 30-day share or the Brown-Rudnick share. Anywhere within that volume, you can create shares. But we've got this one between Boston and Houston. And this is the point I wanted to get to about the data protection. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to select that 30-day volume from Boston. We're going to look at the current version. And earlier today, I uploaded a file here. And this will just take a second while this comes up. Go ahead and click on that. And this gets to the CryptoLocker issue, right? This is how you can protect your files. And it's really, really, really easy to do that. As you can see here, I uploaded weekly timesheet. XLSX. Well, what if I want to get back to a version, because maybe that was the one that got infected, right? And I want to get back to a version here. Well, I can just easily go back. Let me just pick a date here. Say the 13th of May. Let's see if there was a version on that date. There's a version on that date. So I want to see what that folder looked like on that date. That's what it looks like on that date.
Yep.
And now how do I get back to that state? How do I get back so that it was before that we got the infection from that folder? I just click right there. So it says, okay, I can actually put this into your original folder. I can create a bunch of backup files, if you want, to know what the difference is before. And then we've got some options here about whether you want to preserve the existing directories. This is how our customers have saved themselves from CryptoLocker.
Right.
This is how easy it was for them to go back in time, go back to those versions. And just to talk about those versions for a second, again, we've got customers, we've got one of the largest construction firms in the country who's been a customer of ours for years now. They have over 1 million snapshots. They've been snapping every 5 minutes for years now. They can go back to 1 million points in time. How much have we charged them for those 1 million snapshots?
Nothing.
Nothing. We've charged them nothing for those snapshots. So they can go back to 1 million points in time. And we haven't charged them anything. It's all because, again, we chunk out the files, we chunk out the file system, we chunk out the metadata, we only store the deltas, and we have a very easy way of being able to navigate through this.
Yeah, and you can see their story on our website, nasuni.com/customers, to find out their story in particular, that construction company, which is a large vertical for us, and also probably about 20 to 30 other customers, and they'll tell their stories. Including one of the newest ones around CryptoLocker, too.
Yeah. So those are some of the highlights from that. And we'll just open up to any other questions.
Not sure. I think no other questions at this time.
No other questions right now? No. Oh, I think we've got a couple coming in, it looks like. Let me just point out a couple of other things here. Let's look at those snapshot schedules. So how difficult would it be? I mean, we talked about like working on a filer, right? So let's say you've got, you know, 20 different filers across you know, multiple volumes. How can you manage all that? How can you manage those snapshot schedules? It's easy when we're looking at something like the Nasuni Management Console. I can edit multiple volumes all at once, and I can set, I chose one that didn't have, let's try this. So I can choose when the snap would happen. I can actually create little profiles for those snap schedules, and I can move them over to other volumes. I can allow snapshots all day. What frequency do I want? I can go down to as granular as a minute. Every minute I could be snapping. Now, there's a trade-off. There's a trade-off between local performance and then snapping. That's what you have to manage for you know, your given workload and, you know, what needs you have for data protection. But again, we're not charging for any of those snapshots.
Right. We had a question come up specifically around the encryption key and how you configure those encryption keys.
Yep. So you have two options. Either we can create the encryption key for you. We use OpenPGP. And I think I have, I can show you access to some of those here. Give me 1 second. If you ever get lost in the Nassim Management Console, right here. This is all you need. Just a little type ahead, and it'll find it for you. So these are the ones that are, also find you the volume encryption keys. So here's a list of all the encryption keys by volume. Now, these were most of these were probably created using the OpenPGP. It's on the filer. It'll create the encryption key for you. It'll store it on the filer. What we recommend you do, though, download those keys and then store them securely. You know, we don't have access to your keys. We don't have access to your keys. This is the really, really important thing. If we looked inside of, at least for our with our integrated service, if we looked inside of our Azure containers, has our customer data. We just see encrypted data. We have no way of getting to that data. Right. There's nothing in our path, our code path, that allows us access to those, to that data. It's all encrypted on the filer. You have access to the filer. You have access to the keys. So again, it's either created there or you can upload your own keys and then use those keys as well.
Great, great. That's great. It doesn't look like there are any other questions. So I think at this point, we can wrap it up. We really appreciate everyone joining and taking the time.
Thank you.
We're excited to be live in the Azure Marketplace.
Yep.
So customers can now spin up Nasuni and VMs quickly. And just to go back to our sort of opening point, we really believe that, you know, this is transformation technology. Customers are not, they're just fed up with buying traditional storage the way they were buying it. So the ability to have capacity on demand, data protection, sync and share, and the analysis and the analytics all bundled into one price, pay as a service, leverage yep. Azure, it's really a great solution. Our partnership with Microsoft has been great. Being live in the Azure Marketplace has really opened up a lot of doors for us and makes it so easy for customers to spin up Nasuni quickly, to test it out, and to see if they're ready to move to the cloud.
Yeah, spin it up, try it out, test it out, and let us know what you think.